Good morning. Today's daf in Shkalim, daf Yudalin. Okay, we're behind. We're back on Yud Beis. This Shabbos, we'll get together an hour before Mincha, have an additional hour of learning, and hopefully that'll bring us back to where we should be. We are on the very bottom of Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, and we are in the middle of a discussion of Hektish, of dedicating your property to the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah brought down a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehoshua, regarding what happens if all you say is that you're maktish nechasav, you just simply are going to dedicate your items, your possessions to the Beis HaMikdash. What then becomes of the animals? The house, as we know, obviously goes to the Bedek HaBayis, just simply goes for the purposes of temple upkeep, meaning that the Beis HaMikdash doesn't care about your house, they just simply care about the value of the house. They'll sell the house, and with the money of that sale, so the proceeds will go to the Beis HaMikdash. That's clear, that's obvious. However, the length of discussion of the Gemara is, what happens to your animals? You makdish your animals, do those animals obtain Kedusha Saguf? Are they just going straight to the Beis HaMikdash and straight to the Mizbeach? Or no, do they also only have Kedusha Damim? So that was a major debate in our Mishnah between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehoshua, and other Tanaim weighed in. Rabbi Akiva weighed in on the topic. Another Tanaim, Rav Papias, weighed in on the topic. Okay, so it was a big discussion in our Mishnah, what happens? The essential two positions of our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, was that Rabbi Eliezer says it's all Bedek HaBayis, it all goes to the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't go to the Mizbeach. Now the animals themselves will end up on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Mizbeach, but that's after the Beis HaMikdash sells it. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash will wait for people to come in. A person comes in, hey, I need an animal. The Beis HaMikdash says, great, here's the animal. They sell him the animal, and now the proceeds of that sale will go to Bedek HaBayis, it'll go to the temple treasury. So Rabbi Eliezer says the animals are all towards Bedek HaBayis. Earmarked destination point is Bedek HaBayis. And Rabbi Yehoshua disagrees. Rabbi Yehoshua says the male animals are brought as a carbonola. And then the female animals, well, there it's a little more complicated. The female animals are sold. The proceeds of which are used to buy male animals to be brought as a carbonola. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, all the animals are going to be brought as an ola. The male animals directly because they're male animals, and the female animals indirectly because they're female. Okay, that's really a simplification of the Mishnah. The Mishnah gets a little bit more complicated than that because the Mishnah introduces the opinions of Rabbi Akiva and Rav Papias. And okay, so there's more to the Mishnah, but I'm just breaking down the Mishnah into its simplest forms. We're on the very bottom of Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and we are continuing where we left off yesterday, right after the parentheses, three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Rav Chuna b'shem Rav, Rabbi Abba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Kachi Bedek HaBayis, Shepodim Tamimim Yatsu L'chulin. What if I have animals that belong to Bedek HaBayis, and I redeem them, and I redeem them while they're unblemished? Okay, now, again, let's go over what we know. Just, I know we know it, but it's always good to go over it. Let's go over what we know. If I have an animal that has Kedusha Seguf status, meaning the animal is set to be a carbon from Mizbeach, so as I mentioned yesterday, it's non-transferable, non-redeemable, meaning it is going to be a carbon. Now, what if it develops a blemish? So if it develops a blemish, so then we're going to redeem it. But even when we redeem it, it's not because now it's no longer a carbon. It was a carbon. I just can't bring on the Mizbeach. So the Torah gives me an avenue in which I can just now eat it for myself. But even when I redeem it, it's still what's called psule hamukdashim, meaning it still has residual kedusha. Now, consequently, what that means is that I can eat it, but that's it. I can't shear it, I can't work it, I can't milk it, certainly I can't breed it, meaning the only thing that's left to be done with this animal is that I can eat it because of its residual kedusha. That is if the animal was a carbon, meaning it had kedusha zagoth. Here we're having a long discussion in our Gemara, which we started yesterday, which we're continuing today, of an animal that does not have Kedusha Seguf. It only has Kedusha Damim. Now, remember, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, that's not true, but let's now work within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. And if, remember yesterday's daf, Rabbi Akiva agreed with Rabbi Eliezer, the animals that you were makdish belong not to the Mizbeach, but belong to Bedek HaBayis. Fine. I redeem these animals. Are these animals now free and clear? So that's exactly what Rav says, that's what Rav Yochanan says. The animals are free and clear, meaning they have no trace of Kedusha Saguf. It's only Kedusha Damim. Therefore, when I redeem them, they're totally free and clear. It's as if nothing ever happened to the animal. There's no trace element of Kedusha Saguf in these animals. Okay? That's the point of both Rav and Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara points out Masi Samra Kain. And I could turn to a Mishnah, not our Mishnah, a Mishnah in Temura. Mishnah in Chulin. The Mishnah in Chulin says so as well. The Gemara says that the offspring and the milk of these animals are going to be permissible after they are redeemed. So the Gemara says, all right, so you see the Mishnah in Chulin also makes this very same point as well. So Rav Chizkiya, b'shem Rav Chista, tipater, so Rav Chizkiya, in the name of Rav Chista says, no, not necessarily. Could be that Mishnah in Chulin. I'll explain that Mishnah. Shepadna tamimam v'humamo. Where I redeem them as a tamim, but then they got a blemish. Meaning it could very well be that the Mishnah over there is describing where that, not where I redeem them unblemished, but rather I redeem them only after they became blemished. Then, and only then, are the offspring and the milk going to be permissible. But what Rav Chista is essentially trying to argue is, maybe Rav's not right, maybe Rav Yochanan's not right. Maybe, even if the animal did not have Kedushas Aguf, it only had Kedushas Damim, maybe it still has some sort of trace element, the best way we can understand this, some sort of trace element of Kedushas Aguf. Okay. So Rabbi Yosef, b'shem Rav Chista, Masni Amar Ken Vlad Mechaban Asalach Pijonam. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Chista. Look, I'll quote you a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the Vlad and the Chalav, the offspring and the milk, are going to be prohibited after I redeem them. So Rabbi Chizkiya, b'shem Rabbi Yosef, Kachay Bedek Abayisha, Padam Tamim Yatzal Chulin. The Gemara now quotes in the name of Rabbi Yusa here in Amora. So he said he agrees with Rav and Rav Yochanan that if I have kachet b'dek abayis and I redeem them, and even if I redeem them with unblemished, they're going to be yosel lechulin. They're going to be totally permissible. Im tomar lo yosel lechulin, and the Gemara says, look, let's make a logical argument, right? If we can introduce logic into this whole discussion, but let's make a logical argument. Let's point out that it has to be that these animals that have Kedushas Damim only have Kedushas Damim and have no trace element of Kedushas Aguf. How do I know that? The Gemara says, because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that a person has animals and he was Makdish to the Bedek Abayis. What does our Mishnah say according to Rabbi Eliezer? That what Rabbi Eliezer allows you to do, allows the Beis HaMikdash to do, is to turn around and sell these animals to anyone who needs a carbon. Someone comes to the Beis HaMikdash, the person says, I need a carbon. Perfect, here we go. Now, if these animals had any Kedushas Aguf to them, can the Beis HaMikdash sell them? No. And not only that, let's think about this even one step further. Let's say they did have some sort of Kedushas Aguf element to them. Okay, and I don't know what, let's call them an Ola, just for the purpose of this example. So then, let's say somebody comes forward and says, hi, I'd like a Chatas. Beis HaMikdash says, sure, no problem at all. Here, meaning the Beis HaMikdash is giving away an Ola or selling an Ola, and the person is using it as carbon chattis, we know once an animal is fixed as one carbon, it cannot be transferred into another type of carbon. So in other words, by virtue of the fact that our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, allows the Beis HaMikdash to sell the animal as a carbon, clearly means that the animal only has Kedushas Damim, has no trace element of Kedushas Aguf, that allows them to sell it, and consequently, if somebody were to redeem the animals will be yotzei lechulin. Heich, this is here. Let's listen to the Gemara articulate this point. Heich kachim mizbeach chulin. I'm sorry, chalin al kachet bedek abayis. How would it be possible for the kedushas mizbeach to be chal on kedushas bedek abayis? It must be that there is simply no kedushas aguf to it whatsoever, and when the Beis HaMikdash sells it, it then allows the buyer to do with the carbon whatever it wants. Give it whatever designation it wants, because it's going to go to the point that it speaks to the idea that these animals have only Kedushas Damim and no Kedushas Aguf whatsoever. Okay, the next two lines of Gemara, three lines of Gemara are very difficult. Meaning, the Gemara here is not clear what this is addressing, who is it addressing, what point is it making. The Gemara just concluded making the point that when animals are designated for Bedek HaBayis, so it only has Kedushas Damim and zero Kedushas Aguf. So what these next three lines are addressing are really, really difficult. Some suggest that it's going back to Rav Chista. We're going to read the Gemara that way. But I'm just noting, it's not clear. Bale mumim kachim izbeah chala aleihem. If I have a bal mum, I have a blemished animal, so it has kachim izbeah, which is upon them. The Gemara says, Leida Mila, Lamay Nafkamina. What difference does it make? Legiza Vala Avoda. It makes a difference for Giza and Avoda, meaning that you can't shear it and you can't work it. Okay, so as I pointed out, it's really, really unclear what exactly the Gemara was addressing in those last two lines. Who was it addressing? Okay. Yerushalmi, as I mentioned in the beginning of the Masechta, it's difficult. It's a difficult read. It does not read as smoothly as the Bavli, and here's an excellent illustration. Okay. Next topic of discussion. Okay, an ola has to come from a male animal. That we know. Karban Pesach has to come from a male animal. Torah says so. Karban Asham has to come from a male animal. Okay, good. Those are the basics. So now someone steps forward, points to a female animal and says, I want to offer this as an ola. I'd like to offer this as a Karban Pesach. I'd like to offer this as a Karban Asham. Okay, so clearly the person who made such a statement knows very little about Karbanos. Okay, I happen to know a little bit more than that, but not much more. But this person obviously knows very little. Okay, but let's say he has a female animal, and he wants to designate it either as a Ola, or as a Karban Pesach, or as an Asham. Clearly cannot be brought as any one of those three. And that's certainly not going to be the issue. The question on the table, which the Gemara is going to be spending an Amud addressing, is the following. Does this animal have Kedushas HaGuf, or does it only have Kedushas Damim? The animal certainly has Kedusha. He's certainly setting aside this animal as a carbon. The animal cannot be brought as the carbon he wants to bring in. What degree of Kedusha will this animal have? Kedushas HaGuf, or just Kedushas Damim? Okay, that's our topic. That will be our topic for the next, for the remainder of this Amud. The Gemara starts off with the following. Nekeva, hirfish nekeva la olasola, pischola shama, ose temura. So the first opinion we're going to introduce ourselves to is the opinion of the Tanakama. This animal can create a temura. Temura is the isser in the Torah of exchanging an animal one for another. The Torah says the result is that both the original animal and the animal that I tried to transfer are both going to have kedusha. I can only affect a temura with a carbon, meaning the source animal has to be a carbon in order for the derivative animal also having to be a carbon. Good. That's when tomorrow works. So what do you get from the Tanakama? It's very clear. The Tanakama holds that this female animal that I set up as either a Pesach, Ola, or Asham has Kedushas HaGuf. It is intrinsically holy. That's a real head-scratcher because I can't bring it as an Ola, nor as a Pesach, nor as an Asham. But nevertheless, that is Kedushas HaGuf, where it in turn can affect a temura. I can transfer the Kedusha onto another animal. Okay. Stay tuned. We're gonna try to understand the Tanakhama's position better. But there are two more opinions on this matter. Rabbi Shimon Amar lo olasa osa temura, lepischol shama ino osa temura. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon is, I'll make a distinction. If I set aside a female animal as an ola, that can affect a temura. If I dedicate a female animal as an Asham or a Pesach, it cannot affect a Temura. So for a reason which has not yet been disclosed, Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction between setting aside a female animal as an Ola versus setting aside a female animal as an Asham or as a Karban Pesach. And finally, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, a third opinion in the Braisa, also said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, under no circumstance are these animals going to affect a temura because these animals do not have kedushas haguf; they only have kedushas damim. Okay, Amar of Yochanan, time of the Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so the Gemara now is going to explore these opinions. We have three opinions: Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Okay. The Gemara over here also is going to be a little bit scattered because we're going to discuss right now the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which is the second opinion, meaning we're not going to be attacking the first opinion first, okay? And then when we get to the Daf Yud Gimel later this morning, so we're going to go back and analyze the third opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Okay, so Gemara is a little disorganized, but we'll start off with the following. I'm Rav Yochanan, time of the Rav Shimon, Shekei Matzina, Nekeva Ba'of Kshera, Lavo Ola. I'm going to explain Rabbi Shimon. Now remember, Rabbi Shimon says that if I take a female animal and set aside the carbon Ola, so that's going to have Kedusha Sekuf, and that can affect the Temura. Not true if I were to set aside the female animal as an Asham or as a Pesach. What's the difference? Difference is as follows. There is a precedent where a female can be brought as a carbon olah. Now, where's that precedent? In the world of birds. By birds, now it happens to be that you and I will not be able to tell the difference between a male and female bird. The genitalia is internal, so we don't know the difference. And the Torah, now we know that a bird can be brought as a carbon olah, and the Torah is not discerning. The Torah says that it doesn't matter whether the bird is male or female, which is a good thing because most of us wouldn't be able to tell the difference anyway. So you see that in the world of birds, a female bird can be brought as a carbon olah. So at least there's a precedent that a female can become an olah in the world of birds. So now what the Gemara is not suggesting that therefore I could bring the female animal as an olah, but at least when I'm makdish the female animal, it will receive kedushas haguf so that it can affect the tumura. I know that's a very subtle point, but that the Gemara says that is our explanation of Rabbi Shimon. However, that's not going to be true by the Karban Pesach nor by the Karban Hashem. Meaning there is simply no precedent that neither a Pesach nor an Hashem can become a Karban. A female Pesach and a female Hashem. I'm Rav Yochanan, time of Rabbi Shimon Yehuda. And now the Gemara says, and now we'll explain the third opinion, and that is Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. Imin b'minu chalak alav kol shekem min b'she'en omino. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda basically argues, no way these animals are going to have kedushas haguf. In other words, a female animal being set aside as an ola, as a pesach, as an asham, it's not going to have kedushas haguf. And basically the Gemara is going to explain his argument a little bit better. Ezo min b'minu shu chalak alav kehada, didn't he? Gemara says, look at the following. It's a braisa. Asham ben shana ve'evi ben shtayim ve'evi ben shalosh, lo yatsa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol atzmam einu kedoshim. Let's say I have a carbon asham, and my carbon asham needs to be a one-year-old. And by accident, I set aside a two-year-old. Let's say my carbon asham needs to be a two-year-old, and it's set aside as a three-year-old. Different ashamos need to be different ages. Okay? So in other words, what was my problem? My problem is I chose the wrong aged animal. I got the animal right. I got the gender right. I just got the age wrong. That's all I got wrong. Right? Now, I know it's in the parentheses, but you got to read it. Rabbi Shimon says, it doesn't obtain Kedusha Sagof. So here, if you're off by an age, you're not off by an animal, you're not off by by gender. All you're off is by an age, and Rabbi Shimon says, it does not obtain Kedusha Sagof. It only obtains Kedushas Damim. So the Gemara says, so now think about it. If I'm only off by a year, it doesn't have Kedushas Damim. So if I'm off by gender, which in this case is the case, so you don't think it's going to, so it for sure is not going to have Kedushas Aguf, all it will have is Kedushas Damim. So that is an explanation of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yoshua, Shnei Amru Davar Echad. Okay, so now that we know this discussion, so now we can go back to our Mishnah and we can point out that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yoshua of our Mishnah are both fundamentally in agreement with one another. Because what our Mishnah say that according to Rabbi Yoshua, the female animal was only given, invested with Kedushas Damim. Meaning, remember in our Mishnah, the person who owned animals and said, I'd like these animals to be belonging to Hekdesh. What did Rabbi Yoshua say? I'll sell the female animals and the proceeds will go to a carbon olah. So what do you see? That the female animals were not invested with Kedushas Haguf, only Kedushas Damim. Kain Rabbi Shimon, Amar Nekev, Lo Lo Kisha Ela Hekdesh Damim. And that's an agreement with Rabbi Shimon that we just quoted, not the first Rabbi Shimon, the second Rabbi Shimon, who says that a female animal being set aside as an ola only is given kedushas damim in terms of kisha kedushas aguf yiru, and the Gemara makes the obvious point because if it had kedushas aguf, I couldn't sell it. I would have to let it graze, develop a blemish, and then and only then sell it. Rabbi Amar Rabbi Ani Roas Divrei Rabbi Shimon bePesach Shamosa. I agree with Rabbi Shimon regarding the Karban Pesach. Shamosa Pesach Bashlamim. So, because let's think about it. What happens if you have Moser Pesach, meaning a carbon Pesach that's not used as a Pesach? What happens to it? It's brought as a Shlamim, as we've discussed time and again throughout both Pesachim, and we discussed a little bit back in Shkalim as well. So now, it's brought as a Shlamim. Now, what's a Shlamim? A shlamim is a very generic carbon that can be brought both by male and by female. So to say that a female Pesach has no kedusha taguf, well, we do know that the carbon Pesach is transferable to a shlamim, and we know that a shlamim can be brought from a female. So now Rebbe, meaning Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, is now making the argument, you know, I think that if I designate a female as a carbon Pesach, it will be invested with kedusha taguf. Again, not to be offered, because it can't be offered, but at least it will have kedusha taguf where it can affect a tamura. So the Gemara says, okay, but by Asham, you see, Asham, what happened? Is an Asham ever transferable? Yes. A Moser Asham, if I have an Asham that no longer can be used or is needed as an Asham, can be transferred into an Ola. But you see, both of those are not female friendly. An Asham cannot be brought from a female, an Ola cannot be brought from a female. I'm Rabbi Abba, Nim Hikdash Pesach Ba Shlamim Gufo Krav Shlamim, Nim Hikdash Asham Ba Ola, and Gufo Krav Ola. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's a big difference. Because with the Karban Pesach, if I don't use the Karban Pesach for Pesach, so then it itself, the animal itself, can become a shlamim. By an asham turning into an ola, so you see we're already now two steps removed from the female gender. Meaning, can an asham be brought from a female? No. Can an ola be brought from a female? The answer again is no. The only thing that we have is that a bird ola can be offered as a female. But that's already too far removed from the karban asham. So, Ma'akidin Hayamar Hektish Damim Hektish, Vahin Amar Hektish Gufo Hektish, and the Gemara says, and the difference being is that one, the value of it is Kadosh, but the goof of it is not Kadosh. Okay. Adkan. In other words, we're going to pause over here. So, again, a discussion in the Gemara regarding a female animal being sanctified as a either Ola, Pesach, or Asham. And three opinions in the Braisa, the Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, and then Rabbi Shimon, whether or not this animal is invested with Kedusha Saguf. Tanakama says yes. Rabbi Shimon makes a split between Ola versus Asham and Pesach, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says no. It's not invested with Kedusha Saguf, only Kedusha Zaman. The Rambam takes the Tanakama's position that it is infected with Kedusha Saguf. Okay.
I have a topic that if somebody Makdish is animals.
The Gemara says that we're going to go like Rabbi Eliezer. And one of the reasons why is because Rabbi Akiva says, I agree. I agree with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that when you're Makdish your property, without specifying, so it all is going to go to Bet HaKabbalah. It's not the animals themselves; they're not going to be a carbon. Okay. The Gemara now turns back to the Mishnah. This I told you. Gemara is now going to get a little bit choppy because we're going to be shuffling back and forth. We're now going to go back to the Mishnah and we're going to explain the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. We haven't done that yet. So far, all we've done is we've explained Rabbi Eliezer of the Mishnah, but we haven't explained Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara now is going to go back to our Mishnah and explain Rabbi Yeshua. When they were towards the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we are at the two dots. Rabbi Ze'era B'Shem, Rabbi Shimon Malakish, time into Rabbi Yeshua. What's behind the position of Rabbi Yeshua? Now remember, what did Rabbi Yeshua say in our Mishnah? That if a person is Makdish the Chasav, and he has animals, all the animals are brought as an Ola. All of them? Yes. The male animals go directly as a carbon Ola, because that's what happens to male animals, and the female animals are sold, proceeds of which are used to buy a carbon ola and be brought as an ola. What's behind that? Dabir alarum velbanav velkomenei soav emata lehem ishish mi beis Yisrael asher yakriv l'Hashem le'ola. Pasuk parshas Emor hakol krav le'ola. It's all an ola. When you sanctify your property without being specific, all the animals go as a ola. Lirat zonchem tamim zachar minayin she'afil etnikevos. Now the Torah says that's for your males. Okay, good. So how do you know females as well? And we see in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehoshua includes female animals as well. Now again, female animals are not actually brought as an ola because that's simply not possible. But what happens is the female animals are sold, proceeds of which are used to buy a carbon ola. How do I know? Tamalom Rabakar la rabos is in a kevos, because we have an additional word babakar, and that includes the kevos. Rav Yitzchak bei Rabbi Elazar shalok siv zachar v'atamar babakar la rabot in a kevos. Gemara says, basically the Gemara asks, well, that's strange. Meaning the Torah says zachar. The male animals go as a carbonola. And now because of the extra word babakar, you're including the kevos. So the Gemara says, let me extend this to what would seem to be an absurd conclusion. With the kavasik, if tamim. So the Torah says tamim. Okay. So you say, the Torah says zachar, and you're saying, oh, and the kevos as well. So the Torah says tamim, unblemished animals. So now, I'll just do exactly what you did. So now they have the extra word babakar. So maybe the Torah is also including bali mumim as well. That my blemished animals should also be brought as a carbon ola. So the Gemara says, why don't we do that? So the Gemara says, ma beinehon. Is there a difference between the absurdity of a female animal being brought as a carbon ola versus the absurdity of a bali mumim being brought as a carbon ola? So the Gemara says very succinctly, Rav Amar shifta de kadkada beinayim. There's a big difference between them. Period. Okay, I will now say, like, I know Yerushalmi well. I don't, but classic Yerushalmi, meaning that's the end of the discussion. Meaning there's a huge difference between them. Okay, but we can. I think it's easy for us to explain the Gemara over here. Meaning female animal can be brought as a carbon. Granted, a female animal cannot be brought as a carbon ola, but it can be brought as a carbon. A bal mum can never be brought as a carbon. So it's not such an absurdity to suggest a female animal will be brought as a carbon ola. Again, not to say that the animal itself is going to be brought as a carbon ola, but at least its kedusha will be marked as kedushas ola. So that will sell the animal and the proceeds will go towards the buying of a carbon ola. A bal mum can never be brought as a carbon. So when I'm investing the bal mum with kedusha, it simply doesn't have kedushas ola; it only has kedushas damim. So the Gemara doesn't say all that, but presumably that would be the pshat. Rabbi Elazar Omer Yamachru v'chulei hamin. The Mishnah then brought in another opinion, which, quite frankly, we have not spent a lot of time discussing, and that was the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, not to be confused with Rabbi Eliezer, which I think I did. But the opinion of Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah is that if a person dedicates oil, wine, birds, things that could go on the Mizbeach, so what did Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah say? Sell them, and the proceeds of which are going to go towards the carbon ola. Okay? So in other words, those items which could go on the Mizbeach are invested with Kedushas carbon ola. So the Gemara says, what's that? What's that based on? Or on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Abba B'Shem Rav Lazar Ben Lakish Tamid Rav Lazar Dabel Aron Vel Banav Asher Yekruv Hashem Leola. Once again, we go back to the Pesukim in Parshas Amor, and it says anything which is Nikrav goes as is earmarked towards the Karban Ola. Hakol Krav Ola Liritzon Chem Tamim Zecha Yachol Afilo Olfos. What about birds as well? Meaning, let's say a person is Makdish his possessions in his house, and in his backyards he has birds. Now, not a lot of birds can be brought as a carbon. Only a tor and a ben yonah. But let's say he has them. He has tor and ben yonah in his backyard. I might have thought, okay, bring them as an ola. Tamalom rabba bakar, velo ofos. No, the Torah says bakar. Only animals can be brought as a carbon ola. So what do I do with the birds? What the Mishnah told us. Sell them, and the proceeds of which are going to be brought as a carbon ola. Velo ofos. Rav Yirmi v'Rabban Barchia havan yesivan v'amri taman. Am Rav Yochanan time of Rav Shimon shekain nekeva shebaof k'shero lavo ola. Now we're going to go back to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, I told you it's going to get a little bit choppy. Well, now we're going to go back to Rabbi Shimon, meaning we now left. We leave the Mishnah and we go back to the brisa that discusses what happens when a person's makdish his female animals. So, time of the Rabbi Shimon, what's behind Rabbi Shimon? Shekane keva shabov, ksheber lavo ola. Because a female bird can be brought as a carbon ola. That's why when a makdish a female animal as a carbon ola, it's invested with kedusha saguf. V'chol amar hachin, am rav yosi, kamaisa kahad amar shmo b'shem rabbi zer, kol sheni yicholi karev, lo hi v'lo damea, lo kiddusha. The Gemara says now, when a person, now, why don't we do the same thing regarding the bird? Meaning, why don't we take that argument, that logical argument, I don't know about logic, but why don't we take that argument and apply it to the birds as well? Meaning, in our Mishnah, what did we describe? We described a scenario in which a person was sanctifying his property and he had birds. So what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that, well, what happens with the birds is that you sell them, and the proceeds of which are going to be brought as a carbon ola. What does that mean? It means that the birds that you sanctified don't have kedusha seguf, but only have kedusha damim. They can't have kedusha seguf because if they did, I wouldn't be able to sell them. So the Gemara now is just wondering. You see, by the female animal, what was the argument to Rabbi Shimon? Well, since females could be brought as a carbon ola, therefore these animals are invested with kedusha seguf. The Gemara wonders, well, the person who has birds in his backyard, can we make the same argument? A bird can be brought as a carbon ola, so why don't we say that these birds are invested with kedusha seguf? So the Gemara to that answer is very simply. Okay, look, the Gemara says, if we were to arrive at that conclusion, then we would just get stuck. I have birds in my house, I was makdish the property, including the birds. Let's imagine for a moment the birds have kedusha seguf. Okay, now, can I offer them? No. Why? Why not? Because the Torah says, we quoted the pasuk just a moment ago, the Torah says, babakar, that the only thing that you can offer as a carbon ola is only my animals, not as a bird. Okay, do I understand that? No. I don't understand that, but that's fine. Doesn't matter. The Torah says, babakar. So I can't offer the birds as a carbon ola. Okay, so how about this? Let it develop a blemish and then sell it, and the proceeds of which are going to go towards the carbon ola. Right, much like we said by the other items. The Gemara says, no, you can't do that as well. Why not? Because there's a halacha regarding birds as a carbon. There's no blemishes by a bird. Meaning, tamas v'zachros is not a posel, doesn't disqualify a bird. So in other words, the birds are going to be in a scenario in which they are, even with a blemish, they're non-redeemable. So now, the Torah is never going to put us in such a scenario where I can't offer the birds themselves as a carbon, because the Torah says babakar, and I can't redeem them, and so what? They're going to be in this limbo state? The Torah never would want us to be in that scenario. Therefore, when I'm makdish the birds, I'm only giving them kedushas damim, not kedushas aguf. Ve'at amar, we're back to the Gemara, the top of your Gimel Amud Aleph. Ve'at amar yeh lakrivot inat yechol dechiv babakar. The Gemara says, I can't offer the birds themselves because of the pasuk babakar. Ve'lo ofos levdoso inat yechol sha'af she'in lof pidyon. I can't redeem the birds once they get a blemish because birds are not redeemable. Lafum came, therefore, tzarech meimar lo kisha ala kedushas damim. Therefore, when I invest the birds with kedusha, they're only invested with kedushas damim. Chav Rabbi Shem Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Aibo Bar Negra Amar Kamei Rabbi Ila B'Shem Rav Yochanan. Time and Dehen Tanya. We have a braisa. V'im kol behema tamei asher lo yakrivu memenu karban la'ashem. The Torah says at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Bahar, that if an animal, a behema tamei. Now usually behema tamei is a reference to a non-kosher animal. An animal from a non-kosher species. So asher lo yakrivu memenu karban la'ashem. Matam olam tamei ala afilu tamei ba'osor Hashem. Tamei over here means that I can't use it for the purpose in which I was makdashit. The Kashi Badaksi, Vehemid Veharich, the Gemara points out, well, that's a little bit difficult because there's this requirement of Vehemid Veharich, that if I'm going to redeem an animal, the animal has to be able to stand up, and I have to evaluate and appraise the animal. Rabbi Ze'er, B'Shem, Rabbi Lazar, Lo Amar, Ken, Ela, V'im, Kol, Behema, Tamei, Asher, Lo, Yikriv, Memenu, Karban, Hashem, Kol, She'inu, Ro'i, Li, Karev, Lo, Kan, V'lo, B'makam, Acher, Eina, Osa, Tamura. When we say that an animal cannot affect a tamura, meaning it wasn't invested with kedusha seguf, that means that it was not, the animal was totally removed from the world of carbon. But a female animal, however, is invested with kedusha seguf, even if I set it aside as a carbon ola. Why? Because even though the female animal cannot be brought as a carbon ola, but it can be fit to be brought as another carbon. Rabbi Abon, Rabbi Bon, Kamei, Rabbi Zira, Hare Harova, Varnir, Vashena, Ruin, Likarev, Lokan, Veloba, Makamacher, Vahare, Hain, Osin, Tamura. The Gemara says, okay, but an animal that was either that was involved in an act of sodomy, that animal cannot be used as a carbon. It disqualifies it from a carbon. Under no circumstance can such an animal be brought as a carbon. And yet, when the animal is set aside as a carbon, even though it can't be offered under any circumstance, but it can affect a tamura. So this kind of doesn't work with the ground rules that we laid out, which is that the animal can affect a tamura, even though it can be offered, but its type can be offered, and meanwhile the rov and the nirva simply cannot be offered under any circumstance. So the Gemara says, I only said it regarding Tamei Mamish, meaning that the pasuk that we quoted earlier that says, Ain kol behema tamea, means that it literally is not a species that can be brought as a carbon. The rova nirva, even though the animal is disqualified, but the species of rova nirva, meaning it's an animal which is fit to be brought to the mizbech, but only because of an experience that it had, it can't be offered as a mizbech, as a carbon. And then the Gemara concludes by saying it's difficult based on hamid v'harich. That last line of the Gemara, to be totally honest, full disclosure, not clear exactly how that's fitting into the discussion over here, but the Gemara ends off by saying that it's difficult based on the psukim, and I'm quite frankly not sure what that means. Okay, that was difficult. Okay, let's just, if I could just quickly summarize the main points of the Gemara, because I know that we can all get lost in all this discussion. Again, the Mishnah discusses what happens when a person is makdish nechasav, when he dedicates all of his possessions that he has to the Beis HaMikdash, what happens to his animals? Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, whether the animals are going straight as a carbon, or the animals are only imbued with Kedushas Damim, so that the Beis HaMikdash can generate profit from the sale of those animals. Rabbi Eliezer argues Bedekabayis. Rabbi Yoshua argues the animals are carbon. Rabbi Akiva says, I side with Rabbi Eliezer on this issue. Rav Papias in the Mishnah made a distinction between whether a person is specific or explicit versus being generic. And the Gemara and then the Gemara went on to discuss, number one, what are the sources behind Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara also discussed a parallel discussion of what if a person takes a female animal and dedicates it as a Ola or as a Karban Pesach or as a Karban Asham, is it given Kedushas HaGuf or is it only given Kedushas Damim? Three opinions on that issue, and the Gemara does not conclude on, quite frankly, any of this. Okay, but that was the ensuing discussion. I know it doesn't sound like we're in Seder Moed anymore. Sounds like we're back in Zvachim. And we're going to come back to Seder Moed. Okay, one more Mishnah and short Gemara to do. Achas Olam Yom Misharim Es Alishka. Kol Makabel Lav Sapik Slasos. Achas Olam Yom once every 30 days. So we see how the Lishka is doing. Right, we gauge. Take stock, take inventory, do an accounting, see how things are going over there in the treasury. Kol makabel lav sapik sasos me'arba amdu mishal shisapik midal mishal shamdu midal yisapik midal shiad hektish al halayona. The Mishnah makes a point which we discussed a couple days ago, and that is that if you contract with the Beis HaMikdash, they have the upper hand. You do not have the upper hand. So let's say you contract to supply wheat to the Beis HaMikdash, and the price of wheat goes up. So you, the supplier, have to provide the wheat based on the contracted price. If let's say the price of wheat goes down, so then you have to provide the wheat based on the lower price. So in other words, the Beis HaMikdash is always going to be, the Mishnah says, have the upper hand on the contract. Im itzliya sos, itzliya lo. If let's say the flour becomes warm, it's infested with worm, the supplier has to suffer the liability of that and provide fresh wheat to the Beis HaMikdash. Im hichmetz yain, hichmetz lo. Same thing if the wine sours. The supplier has to provide new wine. And as far as the money is concerned, the supplier who gets paid cannot use the money until the Beis HaMikdash actually uses the goods. How that communication is made, the Mishnah gives us no indication. But in other words,
Money's like an escrow.
Yeah, correct. The money's going to be, exactly. The money's going to be in escrow until the Beis HaMikdash actually uses it, because since you're on the hook, since you're liable to provide and replenish in the event something goes wrong, so you basically can't call the money yours until the Beis HaMikdash actually uses it. And then the Gemara just brings down the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon argues on our Mishnah, and Rabbi Shimon says no. Kohanim is Rizim, they're quick, they're alacrity, they have alacrity, and therefore, the moment the money is transferred, the person who receives the money, the supplier who receives the money, can use the money at his discretion. The Kohanim is Rizim. Hadron Alach Perak Ha Shruma. That is the end of the fourth parak of Shkalim. Your question is very well noted. Right. In other words, Zrizim may have nothing to do with the fact that it won't be used for a month from now, 2 months from now.
Maybe talking about when they initiate, maybe when they initiate using it, they look at the quality, and if that's good, then this escrow is left for me.
Okay.
Right. Maybe do they wait till the end and it's completely used?
Unclear. Unclear. I hear Phil's question. I don't know.
It sounds like they mean
it. Right. Okay, we begin the fifth parak of Shkalim. Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8. Four more prakim to go. Okay. The fifth parak is now going to be a little bit lighter. Okay, there was a heavy discussion of kachim that we just spent the most of this morning and the last couple mornings discussing, and now things get a little bit lighter as now we describe. What are we going to be describing right now? The officers and the official positions in the Beis HaMikdash. Our Mishnah is going to take us through 15 official positions. Look, the Beis HaMikdash was a big organization, right? It was a big company. And like any big company, so you have various officers. And so our Mishnah is going to be taking us now through 15 different officers in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Mishnah is going to name names. Now, one of them we know. Okay, you may know others. So I'll speak for myself. No, actually, truth of the matter is, three of them are going to be quote unquote popular names. Okay, one because of Tanakh, and two others because we see them time and again in the Mishnayos. But the one name that we know for sure is Mordechai. Just to give a little historical context, right? Mordechai was the end of the first galus, after being expelled from after the Churban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So we went to Paros, we went to Persia. Actually, we went to Bavel. Bavel then turned into Persia, right? As the Persian Empire conquered the Babylonians, and we were there for a total of 70 years. How do you count those 70 years? So that was a discussion in the Masechta Megillah, Daf Yud Yud Aleph, where there the Gemara has a lengthy discussion exactly how to count those 70 years. Achashverosh didn't know how to count those 70 years, which led to the party. And when we get to Megillah, we'll discuss it. After that, we went in and we built the Bayis Shani, we built the second temple. So here now, what we're going to be discussing is those officers. Now, we're named names. It's possible, but it's only possible. We don't know for sure. And the Gemara is going to make this point, that these officers that we're mentioning were the first officers that were put into office at the beginning of Bayis Shani, at the beginning of the second temple. That's one possibility. What's another possibility? We'll stay tuned. Wait. We'll see it inside in the Gemara. The Mishnah starts off. Eloheinu Mamunim Shayu B'Mikdash. These are the officers that were appointed in the Beis HaMikdash. Yochem ben Pinchas Alachos Amos. Yochem ben Pinchas was in charge of receipts. Stay tuned. We'll discuss what the receipts are later on. Achia al Nesachim. Achia was in charge of the Nesachim. He doled out the libations to the people who needed them. Masi ben Shmuel al Apayasos. Masi ben Shul was in charge of all lotteries in the Beis HaMikdash. Psachia al Akinim. Psachia was in charge of the birds. Psachia Zeu Mordechai. The Mishnah tells us Psachia is Mordechai. V'lamini Kroshma Psachia Shaya Posech Tvar Medorshom Yodeh B'Shim V'Lashon. Mordechai. Psachia was given the nickname of Psachia because he knew how to explain things. He unlocked the secrets of the Torah and he spoke 70 languages. Ben Achia Achole Me'ayim. There was a resident GI in the Beis HaMikdash. His name was Ben Achia. Okay, listen, I mean, us Ashkenazic Jews, we understand this all too well, why they needed a resident GI in the Beis HaMikdash. Yisfarim may not understand it as well. But, so there was a resident GI in the Beis HaMikdash, his name was Ben Achia. Nechunya Chofeshichim. Nechunya was in charge of digging ditches, the purpose of digging ditches, water supply. Gavini was in charge of waking people up in the morning. He was an officer. Ben Gavar al Ne'ila Sha'arim. Ben Gavar was in charge of the closing of the gates. Ben Bivi Mamuna al Ha'Pekia. Ben Bivi was in charge of the wicks. Ben Arza al Hatzilzel. Head of the orchestra was Ben Arza. Hogras Ben Levi al Ashir. Head of the choir was Hogras. Ben Beis Garmu al Maisa Lechem Apanim. The family of Beis Garmu was in charge of the Lechem Apanim. Now, I will say that's a famous family. We see the Beis Garmu family come up time and again. When we get to Masechta Yuma, file this away in your memory. When we get to Masechta Yuma, well, we will be speaking about Beis Garmu again. And Beis Avtinas al Maisa Ketares. Beis Avtinas was in charge of the Ketares. And finally, to wrap it up, Elazar la parochus Pinchas amabish, numbers 14 and 15. Elazar was in charge of the parochus, and Pinchas was the amabish. He was the tailor of the Beis Hamikdash. Every Kohen who had tailor-made clothing fitting him perfectly. Just three lines of Gemara, and we'll stop for today. Rabbi Chizkiah amar, Rabbi Simon, Rabban Nachman amar, Ksherei dor v'dor bali manos aleihem, v'charana amar mishaya v'osa dor, mana mashe bedoro. Option number two is that who are these people mentioned in our Mishnah? They're all just simply the first officers that were installed at the beginning of Bayit Sheni, the beginning of the Second Temple. That's one opinion. What's the first opinion? Hall of Fame. Meaning the Mishnah over here is the Hall of Fame of these officers. Meaning this Mishnah over here is basically authored at the end of the Second Temple, and now going over the last 400 years of the Second Temple. Basically, like, who is the best officer in that position? So basically, our Mishnah is a Hall of Fame. Okay, those are the two opinions. We'll continue tomorrow. Okay, Mirza Shem, tomorrow.